So I'm joined now by Stephen Gillard, director of All Shook Up. For anyone who may not know, who are the Lincolnshire Amateur Operatic and Dramatic Society, and what shows have you done in the past?
So Layards have been around for over 100 years now, I think it is. And they've done every kind of musical you can kind of imagine, basically, from, you know, from the famous sort of, you know, Rodgers and Hammersteins, all the way up to completely modern stuff. We just did The Producers, was the previous one, which was the first time I actually worked with them. So it was really good fun.
I do have to say The Producers is a great, great show. What made you choose to loosely base this around Shakespeare's Twelfth Night and use the music of Elvis?
Well, I mean, it wasn't... So the musical itself, All Shook Up, is an American musical. And they took Twelfth Night as their sort of story beats inspiration kind of okay. thing. And it was a great excuse to use the music of Elvis, you know, which is always going to draw a real crowd because it's got all the sort of really famous songs in there.
So what was it that made you say, this is the year we need to do this? Is it because of the recent Elvis movie or...?
Well, that certainly didn't hurt, yeah. Sort of, I mean, I don't think Elvis ever sort of has dropped out of the public consciousness, but certainly having that movie just hit brings that kind of music back into the sort of the public zeitgeist, really.
So how has the music of Elvis and the work of Shakespeare inspired you throughout the creative process?
Well, the music is there, you know, I hate to say it writes itself, but it does, you know. It is those, you know, it is Jailhouse Rock, it is All Shook Up, it is all the songs you know from Elvis. So
and the thing with Elvis is that all of his songs are quite... upbeat, and you can really make spectacles of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Numbers, you know, they're fun. Yeah. They're really good to be a part of. You know, there's loads of dance that's been added to this. You know, we've got a great choreographer in Ruth Perry, who has been working with me a couple of times now, and she's added all these amazing dance routines to the songs that you know. So it's adding visual spectacle to these sort of wonderful, upbeat, toe-tapping rock songs.
I was going to say, I know you're quite the thespian, but I was going to ask about the choreography and stuff, but obviously you don't do that, do you?
No, they're not that hard up. No, things would have reached a pretty poor point if I was doing the choreography. We've got Ruth Perry, who is an amazing choreographer, worked in Paris at the Lido in Paris. She's a fully professional choreographer who puts it all together for us.
And in terms of casting, obviously people know Elvis is quite iconic. He knows he's got a particular look. When you were casting that, did you think we need them to look exactly like Elvis, or what was your thought process?
No. I mean, you know, Elvis is one of a kind. There is obviously an inspiration in there, kind of thing. You know, the character isn't Elvis, but there are certainly notes of Elvis within the character. But he's more of a, I think he's more of a sort of like, if you think more of a sort of Fonzie from Happy Days kind of character.
Okay,
he's that kind of cool cat that sort of swings into town and changes everything kind of thing.
So when you're giving the actors kind of points of reference for this, they're the people that you're sending them to to say, look at their mannerisms, see how they do stuff.
Yeah, so a lot of the characters have, for example, one of our characters, Sylvia, who is the sort of hard-nosed bar lady, but I gave her the character note of to look at Carla from Cheers.
Yeah.
You know, and have a look at how these kind of characters have these sort of hard sides, but also that bit of sort of softness. You know, the best characters are multi-layered. So to have a character that it seems hard and sort of brusque on the surface, but has that sort of softness and sort of sweetness underneath kind of thing.
So you say this show's been done before and written elsewhere. How much... as a company, are you allowed to kind of adapt it and change it? What limitations do you have to that?
Well, you certainly can't kind of change the script.
Okay.
You know, you can't change the main storyline of it kind of thing. But what you have with a musical like this is a great degree of creative flexibility when it comes to the visuals, the look, how it sort of presents itself, how the dances are choreographed. There's no sort of... in the script, it will say, dance break. So, and that'll mean a 5-minute dance break. It doesn't tell you what to do in that time. You've got to make that up. You know, it tells you that it's a sort of rundown town in America. It doesn't tell you how that looks exactly. So you come up with that. You know, your characters, the lines are there on the page and you can't really change those. You can, there is a bit of flexibility, obviously, but how you say the lines, how your character interacts with each of the other characters Absolutely, that's right there for the actors to have fun with.
And so from the point of view of a director, this is taking place at the Lincoln Arts Centre. How does that venue and that stage help you put together the staging of it? Is there a certain way that people are going to experience the staging, or is it kind of straight on theatre kind of thing?
So one of the nice things about the Lincoln Arts Centre is its flexibility. And obviously also the skill of the people that work there, you know, with Tom and Martin and all the guys that are there, they know what they're doing in that space and they know how to get the most out of that space. So, for example, we're going to be using projection quite a bit on this. So a bit of animated projection, which isn't anywhere in the script telling you to do that. But we've got this amazing projector. So let's build that into it. Let's really help build those scenes, really create that sort of world of the play on that stage, so that, yeah, okay, the audience is sat in their rows, in their seats, but there's going to be elements of it coming out to them. Yeah. This is going to be a bit of immersive theatre kicking around in this. There's no audience participation, yeah. Unless you know, there might be some people toe tapping along and singing a bit along with the songs kind of thing. We want it to be sort of fun and engaging.
And you mentioned there about audience members toe tapping along. We've seen a lot recently on TV about theatre goers joining in and, you know, singing along and things like that, and some in the West End, some cast members having a bit of an issue with that. What is your thoughts on that?
So I think something like that, you're talking about sort of the theatre etiquette, if you like, kind of thing. And I think it very much depends on the show itself. Most famously it was The Bodyguard, wasn't it, I think, where they had that. I mean, that's an incredibly famous song that everybody knows, granted. But it's a very, very hard sing. And it's a very skilled thing for somebody to do. You know, that the actress who, I don't know the actress who was playing the role, but, you know, that's a lot of training, a lot of time, a lot of effort that goes into singing that. And you know, as an audience, you've come to see that. You know, I think if you're seeing the Rocky Horror Picture Show or something along that kind of line, you know, there's audience participation is encouraged within that. I think you've got to always be mindful of the people around you who've paid to kind of come and see the professionals or the really skilled amateurs who are doing this job, who are putting this show on in front of you. It's not the person sat left or right of you who maybe knows a few of the words out of order and, you know, doesn't know the tune for at all. You know, you've not paid to see them.
So would you say you're preparing the cast then? Because obviously Elvis songs are quite well known for the potential of audience.
Yeah, you always work with that in mind kind of thing. I mean, we do a lot of comedy in this. So just take it back to a very, very basic thing is that if the audience is laughing, don't tread on them. Let the audience enjoy it. Let the audience, if they're clapping, let the audience clap. You know, as an actor, you want some audience participation in terms of feedback and so on and so forth. And if you can hear a little bit of singing going on, well, you hear a little bit of singing going on. You don't let that distract you. It only really comes to the fore when we're talking about people actively subverting the show by them singing louder than something else that's happening.
And this thing, you and I are both from theatre backgrounds, so we know that once you're on the stage, you're kind of in that zone anyway.
Yeah.
So you don't really pay much attention to what's happening in the audience.
Yeah.
You're just focusing on being in the moment and delivering those lines and being the character.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the cast. Who can we expect to see in this? And was it a difficult casting process, or did you kind of, after auditions had happened, did you kind of go, yes, this is who I want, or was there some deliberation?
It's a bit of both, really, I think. In some ways, you know, sometimes, as you say, you come from a theatre background as well, you've auditioned for stuff, and maybe you have sat as a casting director or a director for things as well and had to cast a show. Sometimes people come in and they just are that character straight away. They'll do something, say something, be something that makes you go, wow, somebody's really going to have to work hard to take that role away from that person. And we had that with one or two of the cast members for this one. We had people who just were that character. But then in other cases, we had three or four people who presented different things, equally fantastic things about other characters. And we had to make a choice in the end. Eventually, sometimes it does come down to almost flipping a coin and saying, right, well, these two people were both equally fantastic. We've got to pick one. So what do we do? And then you go on gut instinct. and you say, I think it's going to be this person. I think this person's going to give me what I want opposite these other people. Now you're going to see some familiar faces. If you've been to see a Layard show, you know, Simon Calver is our lead in this. He's playing Chad, our sort of Elvis slash Fonzie stand-in. But we've got Nikki Calver as well. It's one of the lead characters. But we've got Rosie. I've lost her surname now. Rosie is having her first ever lead with Layards with this one. So we've got brand new lead coming in for this one as our lead female singer in this piece. But we've got lots of people that you're going to recognise, and then we've got loads of new people as well. It's a massive chorus piece as well. We've got about, I think we've got 45, I think, perhaps in the chorus, including, I think, 12 kids now as well within that chorus line. So we've got some people who are doing, I mean, certainly with the kids, we've got some people who are doing their very, very first show. And certainly with the adults, we've got some people doing their very, very first show with us.
You said that this is your second year with Layards.
Yeah.
How is it walking into that institution that's been around for 100 years that already has an array of actors kind of ready and raring to go for you as a director?
Well, you obviously feel a sort of a weight of expectation in there, but in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, they've been around for 100 years. They know what they're doing. They've put on stunning musicals. I mean, The Producers was my first ever musical that I directed a year ago. And I've directed, I genuinely can't remember now how many straight-up theatre plays I've directed now, but it was completely different. Just the sort of thought process that has to go into it. So it was a massive learning curve for me. Unfortunately, Layards were really, really helpful with that. You know, they were aware they were bringing in a director whose background was straight theatre, not musicals kind of thing. So I had a fantastic array of people helping me to do that. But also, being brought in as a new voice, a new vision for this for these shows is something they wanted. You know, they want somebody who's going to push things around a bit and sort of, you know, change things up and have a go at some stuff, push them in different ways than they've been pushed.
So is that kind of when Layards came to you and asked you to direct The Producers, is that one of the reasons that you went, well, yeah, I don't know much about musicals, but I want to broaden my directorial experience? Is that what made
certainly,
you say yes?
Certainly part of that, I mean, I love Mel Brooks, which is a great draw. So The Producers as a first musical is a dream come true, really, because you can't beat Mel Brooks when it comes to comedy. So that was a big draw to that. But yeah, wanting to learn, you know, being prepared to be wrong. I mean, just without getting too sort of teacherly, perhaps, about the whole thing. If you're directing, you don't know everything. You know, you want to sort of come across as confident, and you're going to always, but you're always going to be accepting ideas in from outside, and you're always going to have got to be okay with somebody saying, that's kind of not how that works in a musical. You know, you want to be able to sort of broaden everything, but there are conventions, and there are things you have to learn as you come in. And so, as a director new to this, I wanted to learn that kind of stuff. I wanted to know, okay, here's where I'm really strong because I'm bringing in my theatrical background, and here's where I need to be learning because I don't know the musicals.
So you run The Blue Room.
Yes.
What made you not choose to put it on there?
Size, for one thing. If you've got a cast of 40, I don't think the stage I've got in The Blue Room would physically take the weight of 40 actors. The audience, I mean, you know, also the tech provided with that kind of side of things. You know, musicals are big undertakings. So the average, so for example, the plays I put on at The Blue Room, on average, maybe £3,000 budget for those kind of shows to put the whole thing on from start to finish. A musical, you're looking upwards of £30,000-£40,000 to put it on kind of thing. And you've got the tech, you've got the lights, the smoke machines, the everything.
And a lot of that just, especially if it's quite a popular musical, is just the rights to it in general.
Yeah, they're much more expensive things to buy musicals than just straight plays. So a venue like the Lincoln Arts Centre gives you the opportunity to put an audience in there that makes it worth that kind of effort, and gives the, you know, there's the experience of that as well, the experiential aspect of it. A big audience of a couple of hundred people provide a different experience for that audience than 100 people. You know, a straight play is great with when it's a nice intimate thing. A comedy is fantastic for intimacy. Musicals are big spectacles, and a big audience helps build that spectacle. You're all part of that thing, you know, you're all part of that sort of beast that is the musical, that is the performance, audience and cast alike.
So Layards have been around for 100 years, and I imagine across the years they've done a lot of their own staging and things. How has it been kind of a collaboration between you and Lincoln Arts Centre, and you've kind of gone, this is the bits of the staging that we can do, can you guys work on this? Have they been quite receptive of that?
Oh, hugely. We work with, so Alex and Tom and Martin are sort of the three I tend to work with most closely through this, and Martin tends to handle the sound. Tom, the lighting, and Alex is fantastic when it comes to creating the sets. He's the one that builds it. We tend to sort of give him a brief and a budget and say, make a small town America, and we want a fairground, and we want this. And
at
we
what
want
point
that.
Do you get to see what he's created? Is it
really early? One of the nice things these days. No, one of the really nice things is 3D printing.
Yeah.
So for that, so Alex always creates for us a model, a 3D printed model of the set. As one of the first things he does and sends it to us. So we get that like almost day one so that we can start thinking about it kind of thing.
I mean, I know times when I've done acting and we've not been able to see it till the dress run.
Yeah.
You know, and you're
often the case. I mean, you know, there's always a difference between that 3D printed model and the real thing
when it's there. Yeah.
You know, just the scale of it all for a start and standing on things that you've only sort of imagined. You know, levels. We've got lots of different levels within this. We've got a garage kind of built in this, so people are going to be on top of it, underneath it. It's all over the place. In a rehearsal room, you don't really get that. So
you've got to
imagine it. Yes.
So when is this taking place, and how can people find out more?
So this is on at the end of June, and all of the tickets are on sale on the Lincoln Arts Centre. And we also have a massive Facebook presence and Instagram presence. Always, we've got all the ticket information up there so that you can easily click through and buy the tickets. Or you can go to the Lincoln Arts Centre itself and grab tickets from there.
And there are evening shows and matinees, aren't there?
So we've got the evening shows through the week, and the Saturday has a matinee attached to it.
So if people can't make it on an evening, there's the matinee on Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah.
Go out, go along. Get out on your Saturday and check it out. Thank you for speaking to me, Stephen. I know you're very busy, so I'm going to let you go.
Thank you very much.